All right, Senator Devlin Robinson is part of a group that wants to change the way your kids communicate in school, or at least limit that, or maybe make the school experience better, or actually all of those. Let me welcome him in right now. Senator Robinson, how are you?
Good, Colin.
All right, let's get to the bottom of this. So phones in schools, you talk to parents, you talk to teachers, you talk to any paraprofessional or somebody in school, you get varying degrees of feedback, but I think almost unanimously you get, we got to try other ways and get this figured out. Would you agree to that?
Absolutely. And that's the problem, is that you're hearing a lot of different opinions, and it's just like, hey, something has to be done. What are we going to do about this?
So legislation and a bill that you sent through, and one that aims to curb classroom distractions, received unanimous approval. It is something that is going to go ahead and advance. What does it entail, and kind of what are the few bullet points here?
I mean, the main point is that there's going to be a bell-to-bell ban on cell phones in schools. Once you enter the building, you have to put your cell phone away, and you can pick it up whenever you leave. And we're going to leave it up to the individual school districts to decide how that is going to be implemented.
This then takes away, I think, the hesitancy of parents, or parents who may be worried about, well, and I'm one of them. Okay, my daughter has wrestling practice. My son has an activity. What if schedules change or whatever? So that being said, as soon as that bell's over, as soon as school is over, they essentially have their phone on their person on the school bus to school, and right after the bell's done, it's not like you can't bring it on school grounds at all, correct?
That's correct. So, you know, some schools will implement, you know, a lockbox, one of those Faraday bags that block the signal, and you know, there'll be a lock and key for it. You keep it in your homeroom, something to those effects.
Do you think that schools will be on board with this? And in the feedback that you've got, Senator Robinson, are they looking for a change?
They definitely are looking for a change. You know, teachers are becoming increasingly frustrated that they're not able to teach in the classroom, and that's what they're there for. So I do believe that the majority of school districts across the Commonwealth are going to support this measure, and it's the reason that we allowed the school districts to implement these policies is so that they could start getting stakeholder feedback from parents and community members and their own faculty.
I can tell you what's going to happen. There's going to be some school districts that say, okay, this is great, and you want us to have a bell-to-bell policy. We're all right with that, and kids are going to bring them. Now, what about the cost of these pouches, or what about the cost of a storage unit? That will be a question from some of the school districts. I know it will be.
So, absolutely. So last year, we passed a bill providing for grant funding for those bags or the signal blocking devices through the Department of Education. So they can apply for those and they'll be paid for.
I don't know if you've got the same feedback, but I'm the father of two 14-year-old twins, Senator Robinson, and this feels like a healthy in-the-middle solution. There's so many people that are married to one side or the other, which is this, Devlin. It's like, yes, my kid's going to have their phone all the time. Get your hands off my kid's phone, or I don't want any phones anywhere near the school campus or whatever. Were you looking to try to meet a proposal and something sort of in the middle? Because that's what it feels like this is.
Well, I'm always looking to compromise. I'm always looking to find middle ground. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to look at it like, what is the purpose of going to school? The purpose of going to school is to learn. And are you really capable of maximizing your potential in school if you're constantly being distracted by text messages and emails and Facebook posts and whatever else your phone is literally designed to do to make you pay more attention to it? So, you know, you're there for reading, writing, and arithmetic. You're there. The state taxpayers are investing money to make sure that those students have the best chance of entering the workforce and maximizing their potential in the workforce. So why are we going to allow them to be distracted and not see a return on our investment.
Now, I read the op-ed piece in the Post-Gazette just the other day. And one tentacle that comes off of this, well, two actually. One, do you think we could be driving away teachers that potentially could be great teachers? Because this is another thing that they don't want to deal with that's outside of the realm of learning, and they just want to go in and teach? Because it kind of feels that way to me at times.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we want to make sure that our state's competitive in every way. So we want to make sure that we can attract the best teachers. And why would a teacher come into our school districts and our state if they have to implement this on their own policy for themselves in the classroom? So I see this as really being a good recruitment tool for the best teachers across the country.
And the second thing that rang true from the op-ed that I read and this bill is this. We often look at this and say, okay, now this kid is communicating with that kid and they're sending funny texts to each other or memes. There's also the evil side of this, Devlin, and that we don't want kids to have their phones in school because not all communication's nice. There's cyberbullying. There's things where kids can get a hold of other kids' Instagram account or their phone number or whatever, and they could put them in a bad place during the school day. I don't think enough people account for that. Not all communication is flowery and nice and warm.
Right, and, you know, all we've ever been hearing about the new generation is that they have a lot of mental health issues. They have a higher rate of anxiety. And the phone is a big part of what's creating a lot of those mental health issues. What we've seen since 2010, whenever social media became really popular, whenever the phone really became a tool for social media with, you know, a front-facing camera so that you could take selfies and things like that, that mental health crises just shot up. I mean, you know, suicide rate for girls aged 10 to 14 rose 131% since 2010. I mean, those numbers are staggering. So, you know, the suicide rate for adolescents ages 10 to 19 rose 48%. I mean, there's a very real problem that's going on, and this is just one measure to kind of fight that.
And last thing for you, so now the bill heads to the full Senate for consideration. In kicking around Harrisburg or maybe just talking to people, what's the feedback been, do you think?
The feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. So in the Education Committee today, it received a unanimous vote. We have 9 Republican co-sponsors, 11 Democratic co-sponsors. There's a movement in the House to take this up. So it's been overwhelmingly positive. It's bipartisan and bicameral.
Perfect. Devlin, you're a good man. I appreciate you taking the time and joining me today. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Colin.
Absolutely. Really good stuff. There we are. Hello to you. Top of the hour, 5 o'clock. It's a while from now. But I saw something in the athletic realm that I've never seen in my life before. And I thought I've seen just about everything. Honestly, I thought I've seen just about everything. I do want to get back into the sheer volume of these numbers with this payout that the Catholic Church is willing to give in New York City. It stopped me dead in my tracks today. It just did. And I want to go over that just a little bit as we creep through this 4 o'clock hour. But we'll get into that probably after 4:30. Right now, Brody's in Swissvale. Hi, Brody.
What's going on? How you been, man?
I've been good. It's very cold, Brody.
You know where I was last night? In Erie. You know how cold it was up there? Holy Lord.
Well, you know, somebody said this. I think, no, you know what? It was Larry this morning. He was and Larry knows all about meteorology. Yeah. He was talking about how, because the lakes are going to freeze over sooner this year, that there's not going to be as much lake effect snow north of 80 or in Erie because, well, the lakes will be frozen over.
Cold. Yes. Yes. And you know what? I was actually driving around when you got up, and I'm thinking of you. you know, in mind, spirit, and body, I was like, wait, Colin Dunlap gets up at 4:10 in the morning. Don't you have your stuff set for 4:10?
3:55.
Oh, my God. You're a beast. Just take care of that back. That's not right.
It's about 95% back, so I'm feeling good.
You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. I'm just warning you. Anyway, because I care. I'm a friend.
Thank you.
But besides the point, what I wanted to talk about very briefly is the situation with the cell phones in the schools. Now, I don't know if you know this or not. I actually got my degree very recently, and I'm trying to get into the IT industry. Okay? Adults, this is what adults do in school. They keep their phone, and you don't touch them when, you know, I'm talking about kids. I know that your school district that your kids go to, they're not going to take the phones off there. Other ones, they're doing a thing. Are we going to lock them up? I heard something about jamming the signal and all that. And also, I just feel that online learning is just not really that great. I'm worried about the school districts. So how do you feel about online learning and cell phones?
I can't stand online learning. Now, for adults, it's fine. But for kids, it doesn't get anything done. It doesn't get anything done. Cell phones, the proposal by Devlin Robinson's fine. You could bring it. You could have it before school. You could have it after school. I read this story about this school in Alabama, and they have banished cell phones. One of the first things they did, banished cell phones from lunch. Okay? And what that does is maybe the first week or so, kids him and haw, and they're mad about it. Then they're like, hell, we're in this. We might as well talk to each other. And then a couple weeks after that, they're like, hey, this talking isn't terrible. And it has harbored this great relationship between the kids. They're like, you know what? We actually can talk about things. Whoa, it's crazy. We could verbalize these thoughts, crystallize them, then verbalize them, then bounce them off of each other. And it's weird. It's why we have a voice box and a brain. And this is nuts. And they actually started to enjoy conversation. And they said it made everybody happier, particularly in the second half of the day where they would be zombies otherwise. So I found that to be really, really neat stuff. So there we are. I'm all for it. I am for kids being allowed to have it because they've got to communicate with their parents and this and that just after school ends. But take them away during school. My kids have a rule that it's by me. You get caught with that phone screwing around in school, I'm taking it and I'm throwing it off the back deck into the woods. I mean, that's the rule in our house. So I don't know what anybody else's is, but that's ours. All right, I do want to get back into the Catholic Church. I heard some numbers today. Very seldom do things kind of like stagger me. Do things go, and I stop and go, oh my gosh, this is one of those times, and I'm not kidding at all. Just in case. What if that was your name? Justin Case. Do you think people would think it was a spoof? Or do you think people would believe you? What if you were like Joe and Betty Case and you named your kid Justin and didn't realize it until after kind of it was too late and you couldn't change it? And then you said to yourself, people are going to say my kid's name is Justin Case. Or what if you were just oblivious to it and didn't really use that phrase? Anyhow, that's how my brain works, is what it is. Lou's in Aspenwall. Hi, Lou.
How you doing?
I'm good. Never been better.
Well, I can relate to 33 drinks.
Oh.
I used to drink round the clock, my man.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you seem to get that all rectified.
Well, by way of a telephone pole.
Oh, you weren't in that Malibu, were you?
No. I was in my truck. November 22nd, 2020 was the date I almost met my fate in a total blackout.
Oh, gosh. Where was this? Where did this occur?
In Carrick.
In Carrick. You wrecked your truck in Carrick drunk. Did you get arrested?
I went to the hospital and almost DOA.
Oh, goodness. Did they arrest you, though?
No. I was in a hospital 5.5 months. I was in a coma for 2 weeks.
Holy heck. And you haven't drank since?
Nope. That was my last date.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So that forced you to wise up and straighten up, huh?
Well, it only took about 52 years.
Man, well, I'm glad you're on the straight and narrow now. You're lucky he didn't kill you or anybody else.
You don't know my story, where it came from.
Oh.
My first drink was at 7 years old, my man.
Well, that's it. That's unfortunate.
My mother drank. She suffered from alcoholism. And she didn't set a very good example. I took after her.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like, seems like pretty rough go at it. Well, I'm glad that things are going well now.
Yes, yes, by way of a fellowship I belong to.
Oh, that's good. Is it in person or online? Or you're not a big online guy, are you?
No, no, no. I'm old school here. I have a cell phone. I never use it. It's in case of an emergency. I leave it in my car. I don't text and drive. It's I only call if I'm broke down.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. Let me ask you this. Did they,
sure.
So did they, like, did McCann and Chester or something come and get your truck? Or how did you
ever? Yes, they did. My sister went down to get the, my stuff out of there, and she walked up to the office, and you know, they told her, oh, you have our condolences. They thought I was dead.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
Oh, you don't know, man. You don't know where I've been.
Wow.
I've been through H-E double hockey sticks.
Sounds like it. What did you drink when you drank?
Fireball whiskey and Budweiser beer.
Man, that's
yep.
Rough go.
52 years worth, my man. Hey, we used to drink around the clock. I helped build several buildings. I was a laborer for the bricklayers.
Uh-huh.
We get rained out 8 o'clock in the morning, go drinking. Drink all morning, all afternoon, all night. 2 o'clock was the last call, and that didn't stop us. We went to the after-hours bar, 6:30 in the morning, last call. Then we go to Jackson, Southside, open up Jackson, 7 o'clock in the morning, and drink till 3, 4 in the afternoon, go home and collapse.
What happens when you didn't get rained out?
We worked.
Did you ever, you used to work drunk?
No, we never drank on a job. No, I couldn't do that. But after work, yes, right to the bar.
Gosh, and you never got a DUI before that?
I got 3 of those. 3.
Oh, okay. Did they ever put you in jail?
I went to the county jail, and then I went to renewal for work release.
Uh-huh.
Then I went to the, back in the day, it was the archives over at Northside.
Yeah, you know what they used to say? That's a thing. They used to say, Lou, you spend too much time at the park house, you end up at the ark house.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. But thank the Lord I'm alive and alive and well. And my girlfriend, I asked her her age. She said it's not polite to ask a lady her age.
Oh, you asked her? Thank you for calling me back and telling me that. She didn't tell you how old she was.
It doesn't matter. It's only a number.
It's only a number. I know you told me that yesterday. You think she's younger than you, though?
I tell you what, she looks good for whatever age. She has a good heart. That's what counts.
That's what counts. And she's keeping you straight and narrow. No more drinking.
Yes, yes, sir. I mean, she's a good person. Good to be around. A lot of fun. We go out dancing and stuff like that. We have hobbies. We go bowling. We go to car races. We have hobbies. I have a hobby working on my home. I'm remodeling my home right now. I just got done with a bedroom. I painted. Redid all the woodwork, took it down to burnwood, stained it in polyurethane. It looks like glass.
Nice. Look at you working hard. Well, stay out of trouble and stay out of the bar rooms.
Yes, sir. You have a nice day.
Take it easy. I like Lou. I'm starting to like Lou. Lou came out of the gate with a pretty hard story there. And I got you know why I got compassion for Lou? Because he figured it out. People that don't want help or people that don't want to help himself. And you know how this show goes. A lot of times I don't have time for. But it took an awful occurrence for Lou to be like, all right, I've got to get it figured out. And I'm willing to help people who are willing to help themselves. Dave and Rankin, follow that one up.
Well, a little more lighthearted than Lou. I'm happy for Lou as well, and I'm glad he figured it out. I figured it out in a similar fashion. I don't not drink, but I don't do the stupid things I used to do. But on a lighthearted note, can you get me in on that celebrity karaoke? I mean, I'm a celebrity in Rankin.
Yeah, go ahead. Walk in. Check it out. December 17th, down at Mike's Beer Bar.
But you said that the karaoke people are going to be like celebrities.
Yeah, just, you know, if you talk your way in, you'll get there.
All right, we'll have to see. But talking about the Catholic Church, I agree wholeheartedly with you. I learned the hard way through the Catholic Church that it's, for me, it's mostly business as far as they're concerned. And recently, our diocese in Pittsburgh, around this area, closed six churches and left one open. And I just consider them to be a big dictatorship. We have a small church up the hill. It's a Russian Orthodox church. They might have like 50 parishioners tops. Sometimes they have 20 people in church, and they've been open for many, many, many years, and they're staying open. So why can't the Catholic Church allow these, you know, smaller and less attended churches to exist?
Yeah, it's a crazy juggling act that it seems like they keep having to play. So nuts, I tell you. All right, coming up next, I do want to get back in the Catholic Church a little bit, and I'm looking at a document that, for the life of me, in all my times covering something, I've never seen anyone pine for their job in this way. It kind of blows me away. But then again, it also may be genius. I can't figure it out. And another Botkin commercial where they're like, they are the most all-American family ever. Everything is just spot on perfect. Did you hear Sarah Botkin talking about whenever it's the holidays, or not the holidays, whenever it's just a dinner over at her parents' house, and her husband, Ovi, who's an immigrant, he came here, he's Romanian, and they go over, they bring the dogs, and Mrs. Botkin has a water bowl ready for the dogs and hors d'oeuvres on the kitchen island. It's like, you can't draw it up any better. These Botkins are, they're like perfect. They are. They're just perfect. I met them not long ago. So did Paul Alexander. We both had the same takeaway. We were like, we got to meet these people. And we did. They were outside, right in the like vestibule of the office. And it was just like, wow, they really are just incredibly, they don't have any warts to them at all. So good on it. I am fascinated by their commercials. And I'm not just saying that because they're commercials on KDK. I am fascinated. They tell a tale in 30 seconds like no one else can. Anyway, 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. Oh, we'll get into the Catholic Church in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll also get into, I saw a piece of paper with somebody pining for their job like I've never seen before. But, Margo, how about this? I got to go to the dentist on Thursday. I had this the best dentist on earth, Dr. Vicky Banco, McCandless Dental. She's fantastic, and her office is great. So, anyway, she put this thing on not long ago that, like, where my gum meets my tooth on the right side on the bottom, I guess I brushed too hard or something was happening, and it was, like, exposing the bottom of the tooth where the gum meets it. You know what I mean? Like, it was not making a nice little... So, and they hatched up this sort of covering, this like cap for it, okay? And it was like on the side of my tooth, on the bottom of it. And so today I'm waiting to drop my kids off at school in the line there. And we're sitting there, and I start moving my tongue around. I'm like, this is weird. I got a popcorn. When's the last time I had popcorn? Popcorn kernel in my teeth. When's the last? So I reached into my mouth thinking this popcorn kernel stuck there. And I pulled out like a piece of my tooth. It was just that covering thing. So I guess, and I texted her, and she was like, well, if there's no pain, we'll get it figured out. And I said, yeah, I like those first appointments earliest in the morning that you got them. So Thursday at 7:30 a.m., I will be in the dentist chair, and I think they're just going to make another one of those little caps there for me.
That grosses me out.
I know it does. That's why I told the story.
Well, when I chipped my tooth, a part of my tooth came out, but it wasn't like a shell.
I know it was. I kept it. It's like a little eggshell that I have, but it's thicker. It's like I don't know. It's like a popcorn seed right there. So I don't know. I'm gonna bring it. You know how like they say if you cut your finger off, put it in ice or whatever, and take it. I'm gonna take that thing, even if there's nothing they can do for it.
Oh, gosh.
They're gonna make a new one, I guess. Hopefully this one sticks better. So But nonetheless, I get to go to the dentist, which is one of the only times that I get full relaxation. I get to sit in the chair, close my eyes, open my mouth, whether it takes 15 minutes, a half hour, an hour, nobody bothers me. My cell phone's put away, and I got no cares in the world, Margo.
Yeah, the dentist is great.
It is. I'll be honest. When you got two 14-year-old kids and all kinds of responsibility, that I look at that as good downtime. So, Dr. Vicky Banco, here I come. She's got the greatest office in the world. She just does. All right, coming up, the Catholic Church.